Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from Structure in San Francisco. And I'm delighted to have Joe Wyman, author, keynote speaker, analyst, consultant, and board member with us today. Welcome.
Glad to be here, Allison.
So, Joe, tell me about this year's Structure and what the rebirth has been like.
If you didn't know anything about the internals and what was going on behind the scenes, it's just another Structure. This is my 12th. So I've been at everyone since the first one in 2008, including a couple in Europe and big Structure data. And there's always great speakers. It's just really amazing. So at this point, it's an institution because you've got, you know, like Jay Parikh from Facebook. He runs operations and engineering there. You've got Urs Holzel from Google that runs the largest infrastructure. I mean, this is not like they send a delegate or whatever. This is all the key people making everything happen and what they're wrestling with, how they're growing, where they're investing. It's amazing. It's just a great event.
Always a priority for Intel on our event docket as well. We have a long history of participation here. These people are shaping the future of data center. You know, we refer to them at Intel as the Super Seven, and I think that a lot of them are present here. What do you think the role is of events like this in terms of shaping business strategy and driving the future direction of tech?
There are a lot of different segments that pay attention to Structure. And if you're a startup looking at how do you become the next Instagram or WhatsApp, then this is a great place to see like exactly what startups have done and how they're leveraging the cloud to accelerate innovation and bring products to market more quickly. And the other interesting thing is there's a heavy enterprise focus here too, because cloud has gone from just an idea with a couple of kids with credit cards that couldn't afford to buy infrastructure to it's now very mainstream. So Chris Drumgoole from GE, who runs their global IT operations and is transforming the infrastructure to the cloud from 100 plus legacy data centers, talks about that transformation and the cultural problems and governance problems and dealing with security perceptions, et cetera, et cetera. So basically the point is that whether you're a startup looking at either bringing a product to market that's relevant to this group or leveraging some of the technologies and insights and approaches, it's great. And if you're a giant global enterprise, you know, Disney is here, Walmart is here, GE is here. We're talking the largest classic companies on the planet and anything in between. You can learn lessons about how to leverage technology to not just reduce cost or improve agility, but how to employ it strategically.
You've been writing about this topic for a long time. Where are you seeing this market going, and how has that influenced your writing?
I wrote a book called Cloudonomics a few years ago that was really a very quantitative book. Calculus and statistics and even trigonometry, because you've got to look at service node distribution on a sphere, which is the planet Earth. If you're doing, say, a content delivery network cloud, put in parentheses. I looked at cost optimization of hybrid clouds. I looked at behavioral economics. I did, you know, all of that. And basically, when I was telling people, look, I've done the analysis, and first of all, public cloud is a great component of a solution, no matter how much it costs. So I've got a proof around exactly why that's the case. But the other interesting fact is that assuming that the supporting technologies are mature enough, it turns out that hybrid cloud is provably mathematically optimal whenever there's any variability in demand. I was saying back before 2009, but then actually documented the proof because people were looking at me sideways as to why hybrids were best. They would say, Joe, you just don't understand the public cloud. And I was like, I think I understand it. And, you know, but here's the analysis and, you know, not just from quantitative economics, but behavioral economics. Now, finally, people are getting, oh, wait a minute. Yes, hybrid actually makes sense. And, you know, private cloud is not a complete misnomer. Obviously, you've got limits in capacity, but there are also cool statistical multiplexing effects that arise from basically aggregating your own diverse independent workloads. The other thing is, as I was writing Cloudonomics, I realized that I wanted to make sure that people didn't lose sight of the bigger picture, which is that regardless of cost, the cloud in many ways is the nexus of a constellation of technologies, including big data and the Internet of Things and mobile and wireline broadband networks, et cetera, that really enables companies to differentiate themselves and create wealth and create customer value. You've got companies now that are hundreds of billions of market cap. Some of them have crossed the half trillion market cap and are headed towards a trillion. And it's all based on the transformational power that IT has. So I wrote a new book called Digital Disciplines, which just came out. I realized that there were repetitive patterns as to what companies that were creating disruption in 100-year-old plus marketplaces and what they were doing. And it didn't matter if you looked at insurance or transportation or healthcare, they were all applying similar blueprints and then adapting them to their particular competitive position in the market and also the industry structure and the rules of the time. Briefly, the idea is I took a classic strategy framework called the Value Disciplines Framework that was delineated in a book by Michael Tracy and Fred Viersema called The Discipline of Market Leaders that was a bestseller back in the 90s, and I updated it to leverage digital technologies. And it turns out that it isn't just a linear evolution where having a great product in the physical world now in the new world means that you've got a great digital product. So if you had the New York Times for 100 plus years and it was a leading publication with great editorial content, you'd say, all right, well, the impact of the digital age is clearly you get nytimes.com, and then you do a New York Times app for the iPad and then the iPhone and then you move it to Android. There's something much more sophisticated and subtle going on that's still very powerful and profound. The first thing is the idea that physical operational excellence now becomes complemented, extended, or replaced by what I call information excellence. And the idea is that excellence in processing information, better algorithms, better heuristics, better integration with physical operations leads you to a variety of different potential solutions that can be game-changing. The second major thing is what I call solution leadership, which is the evolution of product leadership, in other words, better standalone products or services, into smart digital products and services that are connected to the cloud and big data and analytics, and from there on to partner ecosystems. So good examples of that include the GE GenX jet engine, where there's data that's collected from the IoT sensors that are sitting in each engine on things like engine rotation speed and, you know, oil pressure and jitter around the rotation speed. That's analyzed, and it can do then a better job of predictive maintenance, where they, rather than an airline being blindsided, GE can tell them, you know what, this engine needs to be maintained right now because of this, you know, deep learning that's occurred based on the analytics around collecting data from all these engines. The third major evolution is from customer intimacy to what I call collective intimacy. And the idea there is that in the old days, customer intimacy used to be very much a human capability, right? So you had your personal physician that knew that your family has a history of heart disease or whatever. Now all of that is moving away from face-to-face and human-mediated to virtual and algorithmically mediated. So when Amazon does upsell, cross-sell, you know, people who bought this also bought this.
Right.
Or when Netflix does a movie recommendation, they're doing a recommendation, and you find the same approach in a variety of unusual areas. Like Mayo Clinic offers personalized medicine based on enormous repositories of genetic, epigenetic, microbiomic, and pharmacological efficacy data. In other words, what your genes are, how they're expressed, your gut bacteria or skin bacteria, and also tying that into the effect that various drugs have. So a particular drug might help me kill you, need a higher dose for somebody and a lower dose for somebody else based on the context and characteristics of their genetic and microbiomic profile. And then the last area where I think the cloud really applies is in terms of accelerating innovation.
I'm sure you pique people's interest online. My final question for you, if folks want to get your new book, where can they go?
Anywhere. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual booksellers, iBooks, Kindle, Google Books.
Thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.